him why he made such sorrow. Page 153. And as it is above rehearsed, Sir Pelias to Sir Gawain, but always I suffer her knights to fare so with me, as ye saw yesterday, in trust at the last to win her love, for she knoweth well all her knights should not lightly win me, and me list to fight with them to the uttermost. Wherefore, and I loved her not so sore, I had liever die 100 times than I might die so oft, rather than I would suffer that despite. But I trust she will have pity upon me at the last, for love causeth many a good knight to suffer to have his intent. But alas, I am unfortunate. And therewith he made so great dole and sorrow that unethe he might hold him on horseback. Now, said Sir Gawain, leave your mourning, and I shall promise you by the faith of my body to do all that lieth in my power to get you the love of your lady, and thereto I will plight you my troth. Ah, said Sir Pelias, of what court are ye? Tell me, I pray you, my good friend. And then Sir Gawain Gawain said, I am of the court of King Arthur, and his sister's son, and King Lot of Orkney, was my father, and my name is Sir Gawain. And then he said, my name is Sir Pelias, born in the Isles, and of many Isles I am lord, and never have I loved lady nor damosel till now in an unhappy time. And, Sir Knight, since ye are so nigh cousin unto King Arthur and a king's son, therefore betray me not, but help me, for I may never come by her but by some good knight, for she is in a strong castle here fast by within this 4 mile, and over all this country she is lady of. And so I may never come to her presence, but as I suffer her knights to take me, and but if I did so that I might have a sight of her, I had been dead long or this time. And yet fair word had I never of her, but when I am brought to fore her, she rebuketh me in the foulest manner, and then they take my horse and harness and putteth me out of the gates, and she will not suffer me to eat nor drink, and always I offer me to be her prisoner, but that she will not suffer me, for I would desire no more what pains soever I had, so that I might have a sight of her daily. Well, said Sir Gawain, all this shall I amend, and ye will do as I shall devise. I will have your horse and your armor, and so will I ride into her castle and tell her that I have slain you, and so shall I come within her to cause her to cherish me, and then shall I do my true part, that ye shall not fail to have the love of her. Page 154. Chapter 22. How Sir Gawain came to the Lady Ettard and lay by her, and how Sir Pelias found them sleeping. And therewith Sir Gawain plight his troth unto Sir Pelias to be true and faithful unto him, so each one might one plight their troth to other, and so they changed horses and harness, and Sir Gawain departed, and came to the castle, whereas stood the pavilions of this lady without the gate. And as soon as Ettard had espied Sir Gawain, she fled in toward the castle. Sir Gawain spake on high, and bade her abide, for he was not Sir Pelias. I am another knight that have slain Sir Pelias. Do off your helm, said the Lady Ettard, but that I may see your visage. And so, when she saw that it was not Sir Pelias, she made him alight and led him into her castle, and asked him faithfully whether he had slain Sir Pelias. And he said her yea, and told him her his name was Sir Gawain, of the court of King Arthur, and his sister's son. Truly, said she, that is a great pity, for he was a passing good knight of his body, but of all men alive I hated him most, for I could never be quit of him, and for ye have slain him, I shall be your woman, and to do anything that might please you. So she made Sir Gawain good cheer. And then Sir Gawain said that he loved a lady, and by no means she would love him. Page 155. She is to blame, said Ettard, and she will not love you, for ye that be so well born a man, and such a man of prowess, there is no lady in the world too good for you. Will ye, said Sir Gawain, promise me to do all that ye may by the faith of your body to get me the love of my lady? Yea, sir, said she, and that I promise you by the faith of my body. Now, said Sir Gawain, it is yourself that I love so well, therefore I pray you hold my promise. you hold your promise. I may not choose, said the Lady Ettard, but if I should be forsworn. And so she granted him to fulfill all his desire. And so it was then in the month of May that she and Sir Gawain went out of the castle and supped in a pavilion. And there was made a bed, and there Sir Gawain and the Lady Ettard went to bed together. And in another pavilion she laid her damosels, and in the third pavilion she laid part of her knights, for then she had no dread of Sir Pelleas. And there Sir Gawain lay with her in that pavilion 2 days and 2 nights. And on the third day in the morning Sir Pelleas armed him, for he had never slept since Sir Gawain departed from him. For Sir Gawain had promised him by the faith of his body to come to him unto his pavilion by that priory within the space of a day and a night. And then Sir Pelleas mounted upon horseback and came to the pavilions that stood without the castle, and found in the first pavilion 3 knights and 3 beds, and 3 squires lying at their feet. And then went he to the second pavilion, and found 4 gentlewomen lying in 4 beds. And then he yede to the third pavilion, and found Sir Gawain lying in bed with his Lady Ettard, and either clipping, there's an asterisk after clipping, and the asterisk reads, clipping means embracing. Return to text. So clipping other in arms, and when he saw that, his heart well nigh brast for sorrow, and said, alas, that ever a knight should be found so false. And then he took his horse, and might not abide no longer for pure sorrow. And when he had ridden nigh 1/2 mile, he turned again and thought to slay them both. Page 156. And when he saw them both so lie sleeping fast aneath, he might hold him on horseback for sorrow, and said thus to himself, though this knight be never so false, I will never slay him sleeping, for I will never destroy the high order of knighthood. And therewith he departed again. Or he had ridden 1/2 mile, he returned again, and thought then to slay them both, making the greatest sorrow that ever man made. And when he came to the pavilions, he tied his horse unto a tree, and pulled out his sword naked in his hand, and went to them thereas they lay. And yet he thought it were a shame to slay them sleeping, and laid the naked sword over wart both their throats, and so took his horse and rode away. And when Sir Pelleas came to his pavilions, he told his knights and his squires how he had sped, and said thus to them, for your true and good service ye have done me, I shall give you all my goods, for I will go unto my bed and never arise until I am dead. And when that I am dead, I charge you that ye take the heart out of my body, and bear it betwixt 2 silver dishes, and tell her how I saw her lie with the false knight Sir Gawain. Right so Sir Pelleas unarmed himself and went into his bed, making marvelous dole and sorrow. Then Sir Gawain and Ettard awoke of their sleep, and found the naked sword over wart their throats, and then she knew well it was Sir Pelleas's sword. Alas, said she to Sir Gawain, ye have betrayed me and Sir Pelleas both, for ye told me ye had slain him, and now I know well it is not so. He is alive, and if Sir Pelleas had been as uncourteous to you as ye have been to him, ye had been a dead knight. But ye have deceived me and betrayed me falsely, that all ladies and damosels may beware by you and me. And therewith Sir Gawain made him ready and went into the forest. And so it happened then that the damosel of the lake Nimue met with a knight of Sir Pelleas, and that went on his foot in the forest, making a great dole, and she asked him the cause. Page 157. And so the woeful knight told her how his master and lord was betrayed through a knight and a lady, and how he will never arise out of his bed till he be dead. Bring me to him, said she anon, and I will warrant his life he shall not die for love, and she that hath caused him so to love, she shall be in as evil plight as he is, or it be long too, for it is no joy of such a proud lady that will have no mercy of such a valiant knight. Anon that knight brought her unto him, and when she saw him lie in his bed, she thought she saw never so likely a knight, and therewith she threw an enchantment upon him, and he fell asleep. And therewith she rode unto the Lady Ettard, and charged no man to wake him until she came again. And so within 2 hours she brought the Lady Ettard thither, and both ladies found him asleep. "Lo," said the damosel of the lake, "ye ought to be ashamed for to murder such a knight." And therewith she threw such an enchantment upon her that she loved him sore, that well nigh she was out of her mind. "O Lord Jesu," said the lady Etard, "how is it befallen unto me that I love now him that I have most hated of any man alive?" "And that is the rightwise judgment of God," said the damosel. And then anon Sir Pelleas awaked and looked upon Etard, and when he saw her, he knew her. And then he hated her more than any woman alive, and said, "Away, traitress, come never in my sight." And when she heard him say so, she wept and made great sorrow out of measure. Page 158. Chapter 23. How Sir Pelleas loved no more Etard by mean of the damosel of the lake, whom he loved ever after. "Sir Knight Pelleas," said the damosel of the lake, "take your horse and come forth with me out of the country, and ye shall love a lady that shall love you." "I will well," said Sir Pelleas, "for this lady Etard hath done me great despite and shame." And there he told her that beginning and ending, and how he had purposed never to have arisen till that he had been dead. "And now such grace God hath sent me that I hate her as much as ever I loved her, thanked be our Lord Jesus." "Thank me," said the damosel of the lake. Anon Sir Pelleas armed him and took his horse and commanded his men to bring after his pavilions and his stuff where the damosel of the lake would assign. So the lady Etard died for sorrow, and the damosel of the lake rejoiced Sir Pelleas and loved together during their life days. Chapter 24. How Sir Marhaus rode with the damosel, and how he came to the Duke of the South Marches. Now turn we unto Sir Marhaus, that rode with the damosel of 30 winter of age southward. And so they came unto a deep forest, and by the fortune they were knighted, and rode long in a deep way, and at last they came to a courtelage. There's an asterisk after courtelage, and the asterisk reads, courtelage is a courtyard. Return to text. They came unto a courtelage, and there they asked harbor. But the man of the courtelage would not lodge them, for no treaties that they could treat. But thus much the good man said, "And ye will take the adventure of your lodging. I shall bring you there. You shall be lodged." "What adventure is that I shall have for my lodging?" said Sir Marhaus. Page 159. "Ye shall wit when ye come there," said the good man. "Sir, what adventure so it be, bring me thither, I pray thee," said Sir Marhaus, "for I am weary, my damosel and my horse." So the good man went and opened the gate, and within an hour he brought him unto a fair castle. And then the poor man called the porter, and anon he was let into the castle. And so he told the lord how he brought him a knight errant and a damosel that would be lodged with him. "Let him in," said the lord, "it may happen he shall repent that they took their lodging here." And so Sir Marhaus was let in with torchlight, and there was a goodly sight of young men that welcomed him. And then his horse was led into the stable, and he and the damosel were brought into the hall, and there stood a mighty duke and many goodly men about him. And then his lord asked him what he hight, and from whence he came, and with whom he dwelt. "Sir," he said, "I am a knight of King Arthur's, and a knight of the Round Table. Note 1. And my name is Sir Marhaus, and born I am in Ireland." And then said the duke to him, "That me sore repenteth. The cause is this, for I love not thy lord, nor none of thy fellows of the Round Table, and therefore ease thyself this night, as well as thou mayest, for as to morn, I and my 6 sons shall match with you. Is there no remedy but that I must have ado with you and your 6 sons at once?" said Sir Marhaus. "No," said the duke, "for this cause I made mine a vow, for Sir Gawain slew my 7 sons in a rencounter, and therefore I made mine a vow, there should never knight of King Arthur's court lodge with me, or come whereas I might have ado with him, but that I would have a revenging of my son's death. And what is your name? Said Sir Marhaus. I require you tell me, an it please you. Wit thou well, I am the Duke of South Marches. Ah, said Sir Marhaus, I have heard you say that you have been long time a great foe unto my lord Arthur and to this knight's. Page 160. That shall ye feel to mourn, said the Duke. Shall I have ado with you? Said Sir Marhaus. Yea, said the Duke, thereof shalt thou not choose, and therefore take you to your chamber, and ye shall have all that to your longeth. And so Sir Marhaus departed, and was led to a chamber, and his damosel was led unto her chamber. And on the morn the Duke sent unto Sir Marhaus, and bade him make ready. And so Sir Marhaus rose, and armed him, and then there was a mass sung afore him, and brake his fast, and so mounted on horseback in the court of the castle, and there they should do the battle. So there was the Duke already on horseback, clean armed, and his 6 sons by him, and every inch had a spear in his hand. And so they encountered, whereas the Duke and his 2 sons brake their spears upon him, but Sir Marhaus upheld his spear and touched none of them.